RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
So to the new op-ed from Professor David Murdoch and Ashley Bloomfield, arguing that pandemics should be treated as security threats rather than public health threats. To discuss this op-ed, joining us is Professor Grant Schofield. Grant's research and teaching interests are broadly based in public health, especially the prevention and treatment of chronic disease. He's been on before and he's on again. Grant, welcome back to RCR Breakfast. Nice to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, so pandemics should be treated now as security threats.
Well, dare I say this, Paul, but now we have to ask the question, like we're sent to have to with every other thing in society, what is a pandemic? Because if we're talking about what we've just had, we've had a disease where the infection fatality rate is not much different than the seasonal flu. Fair enough, it had some disproportional effect on the older and people who are metabolically unwell. Is that a pandemic? And should we treat that as a security threat? I don't think we should. So I don't think that is actually a pandemic. If you imagine something much more sinister, you know, I read when I was a youngster, it was my first introduction to public health, was Stephen King's futuristic fantasy novel, The Stand, in which case a government-produced virus escapes from a medical facility. It's called Captain Trips, and it has an infection fatality rate, not of the seasonal flu, but of 99%. It kills 99% of people. Then I suppose at that point, it is a pandemic and you've got a security problem because people will take the law into their own hands. There's probably no preventing that. Or if you watch Netflix a lot and you follow the zombie apocalypse genre, dead people rise up out of the graves and they start marching around en masse and biting people, and you too join in with them, then I suppose that level of public health threat would be a...
If we see that happening in Queen Street, it probably already happens
I suppose under those conditions, I would want the police to have special powers and the army to come in. Probably not the Navy, because they haven't shown themselves to be too good recently, but... You know, I'd like those people to be involved. So in principle, when society goes completely off the rails, it becomes a security issue.
Yeah, but it has to go off the rails. It has to seriously go off the freaking rails.
100%. And what we're seeing at the moment is the definition of a pandemic through a sort of ludicrous situation and self-declaration with a pharmaceutical interest from the World Health Organization that doesn't pass muster on any level of scrutiny from anyone, whether it be an expert in public health like me or just someone off the street who just thinks about these things from a practical point of view. So, you know, my fear is with Bloomfield and Murdoch's idea is it reeks of a level of control and stupidity that's likely to result in more harm than good. And of course, that's the main tenet in public health is, the main tenet of medicine is first to no harm, but you know, in practical terms, that means that at least make sure that what you're doing has way more good than harm, and that benefit is much, much more. And when you're dealing with something that's not potentially that harmful, and you want to introduce sort of security, which I think sounds like police and military type interventions and other human rights legislation that would completely overturn our Bill of Rights, then that's unlikely to be the case. So that's my initial take on it. I don't know what you think about that.
Well, I was thinking as you were talking that what we saw with the police at Parliament against the protesters is really what they're seeking to have the power to use and to direct in certain ways. And that's what they're talking about.
Well, there's a sort of another level to that as well, of course. So, you know, with the Public Health Act, as it existed with the COVID pandemic, what you were looking at was that actually recommendations through the Director General Health, which was Ashley Bloomfield at that stage, were made independent of political interference. And, of course, that never happened. And we do actually now know that the Ministry of Health's recommendation was that we didn't mandate vaccination, and that was overturned politically. And so I guess changing to a more security-based situation would allow Cabinet to run those sorts of decisions free of the Director General. They broke the law anyway, so I guess they're just now trying to make that more legal, I suppose, to do it that way. The second thing is you talked about the police's behaviour there. I mean, whilst that at Parliament was obscene, what much there's way more obscenity than that that rings in my mind. And I particularly remember walking along the beach when Auckland was in a lockdown, and the police hauling out an elderly man in a roughhouse way with handcuffs behind his back and his swimming togs for going for his morning swim.
Insane.
And that's a perversity that I think most people would regard as unacceptable, and that it's not something we want to do as a society.
They're saying that planning should be owned, note, and led by the country's security apparatus, currently based in the Department of the Prime Minister and Cabinet. That's how it was operated last time, wasn't it? Most of it came out of Jacinda's office.
That was just because they were already breaking the initial Public Health Act, and there's no one being held accountable for that. And I guess Bloomfield will know that they were doing that now. So I don't know what his motivations for this latest thing are.
To address the threats to economic and social well-being, you see that word always, well, the combination of words always rings my alarm bells, as well as public health. So economic, well, we printed money and almost destroyed the economy. Social well-being, well, that didn't turn out too well, did it? The way people were left with PTSD after all of that, as well as public health. So their minds are occupied by more than just health.
Yeah, but it still comes back to what is a pandemic. Sort of reminds me of this what is a woman debate, really, in many ways.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what is a pandemic? Well, if it's something around the level where the average age of death and the background death aren't different, in other words, if you hadn't tested for it, no one would have noticed.
Yeah, yeah.
Versus dead people arising from the graves and a zombie apocalypse occurring and marauding zombies wandering around the streets. Well, you know, frankly, in that point, Cabinet can get involved.
If any of them are left, yeah, exactly. Okay, now getting on to this pandemic thing, because they talk about fear and panic in here as well.
Yeah.
But always banging on about the next lethal pandemic, that's exactly what that is. It's fear and panic inducing.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we've got a history of that now, haven't we? We saw in public health, you always wonder about the behavior of previous generations. You look at, you know, how they behaved in various pandemic-like ways that we just did, and you wondered how that would happen in a logical modern world. We know that fear is really the only way that drives that, and we did that. Yeah, not sure we'll ever recover from that as a society.
And they talk about influenza preparedness not being the same thing, because somehow we can anticipate, or we've got a good sort of handle on influenza's going around. And so if it's anything different from how that has been planned out, then we can easily ditch that. But I don't know why you would do that.
Mm. Yeah, comes back to the question, what is a pandemic? Because it wasn't what we saw last time. But there is conceivable situations where, I don't know, if you had something that killed 50% of us, well, that's a whole different thing.
Well, then you could,
I don't see that.
Justify those measures then, couldn't you?
Yeah. But we'll deal with that as it comes. And, you know, you take something like Ebola in Africa, it usually fizzles out pretty quick because people take that sort of self-isolation into their own hands very, very quickly. Because they don't want to die.
It's a great incentive. And the way nature works is if you're seeking to exist, you don't want to burn out all your hosts.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the thing. So, yeah, I see evidence that new, previously unforeseen viruses could emerge in the world. That's like you're living on a planet with lots of other species, including, many different viruses that have their own selection pressures. That's perfectly plausible. Is it on the cards that there's going to be some mega deadly one? There's no evidence for that at the moment. I don't know.
Well, you look at history, don't you?
Yeah. You look back and go, well, it's probably going to be pretty similar. Yeah. So. And if you look at recent history, you go, man, your security situation seems to be a bit paranoid and not operating in basic premises of public health, which is...
There's been nothing around to update. I don't know too much about the other doctor, but that's David Murdoch, or the professor. But Ashley Bloomfield, you'd think they'd learn something, wouldn't you?
Well, you know, there's been a sort of pretty well-known philosophy and action and politics introduced by a lawyer in the US called Thomas Sowell back in the 70s. And he talks about, you know, when you put into action a policy in politics that clearly isn't working and makes no sense, then typically the politician's response to that is not to say that policy didn't work, but to double down even more stupidly on the exact same policy. That seems to be part of human nature. And I suppose that's what we're seeing here. You know, if only we'd gone harder with our ridiculous response, then we would be there. And, you know, I've seen the same throughout my career on all sorts of other things. And nutrition's a great example. You know, the stupidity of the healthy food pyramid of, you know, stuffing yourself with grains every day. You know, after 50 years of that, we haven't decided that was stupid. We just needed to do it better. So, you know, these are things that have pervaded political and health systems for eternity, I suppose.
What about that term whole of society response?
What does that even mean?
Does that include pets? I mean, you got to wonder, right? Yeah. What if I don't want to be part of the whole of society?
I don't even know what that means.
It means everyone. It means, you know, the net covers everything.
Well, I suppose the sinister glass half empty view of that is that we will make you do it even if you don't want to do it, because, you know, we've decided the whole of society should do this, and if you don't want to, too bad. We'll bring the police in or the military to enforce that.
To take your chickens. Crack squad from the SAS turns up. Where are your chickens?
Well, people forget this, right? If you were in Auckland, there was literally a military cordon around the city for months.
Also, there's because we've got to remember that Ashley Bloomfield was involved with the WHO, the international health regulations, the vaccine pass work. So he's got a vested or conflict of interest in all of that, hasn't he? Because he's also got other plates spinning in the air somewhere else related to this.
Yeah, but, you know, in defence of Ashley, not that I'm defending what he's saying, but in defence of, you know, general free speech, you can have your say.
Fair.
But I'll have my say as well, and it's like that. I think what you're saying is idiotic. So, that's probably my view on it. And you can judge us all by the content of veracity of our arguments.
Yeah, but also the history, the track record, the form. Look at the form. That's why many people would like a facing justice moment there, let's say.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think they'll get it. I mean, as much as I'd like to see more public scrutiny and, you know, people giving evidence under oath publicly, I think that would be really cathartic for many of us, including myself.
Me too.
I don't think you want to hang on to that for too long, because I don't think that'll ever happen, unfortunately.
I'll hang on to it for a while. Don't forget.
Yeah.
You know, plenty of time. All right. So what sort of reaction do you think this op-ed will get out there in, well, what space? The space you're in?
Well, the space I'm in.
Wider public health community?
Well, I think
do you think they'll align with it? Do you think
they'll broadly agree with it, yeah. That's the way it goes. I mean, I'm surprised when you write an op-ed that you can somehow still come out on the, you know, very front page of the New Zealand Herald morning edition, that an opinion around adding presumably some sort of totalitarian view of security around future COVID-like activities.
Predictive programming in motion right now.
Wow. You know, so that's an astonishing thing. Cool.
Yeah, well, that can share the front page with some other top story like female Viagra, how to lift low libido in women.
Oh, is that a thing?
I just looked at it. It's on their front page. You know, so they really mix it up, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still vaguely medical, though, isn't it?
And pill-based around that's the solution to your life. Take some more medical procedures.
Well, it's maintaining the model then, isn't it? All right, well, maybe someone should write a defence, an op-ed defence, and I probably won't get it in the Herald, but
no,
I might get somewhere.
You won't, unfortunately. So we're here instead with RCR, so yeah, long may that live.
Yeah. The replays go far and wide. So do you think, if timing is everything, and I always think it is, do you think that this is like talk softening up for the next pandemic when you're quite not having one?
Yeah, well, if you go fully down the rabbit hole, which I know a few people will have, then I know there'll be views out there that goes, well, this is next one's already planned, it's coming. I'm not sure I subscribe to that, but it's just an odd thing to think it's important, and it's an odd approach to take.
Yeah, because there's no pressing discussion of it. Like, it's not hot talk right now, is it?
No, there's much more interesting things in the world going on right now.
Female Viagra. We're not giving out medical advice here, by the way,
folks.
Not. Oh, and they use the word resilience in there, calling for resilience. But again, it's not the sort of resilience that I relate to.
I mean, how does a sort of level of overriding the New Zealand Bill of Rights and the Public Health Act, you know, which, just to be clear, were both breaches of the basis of our law in this country, how is overriding that with a new feature going to be good for society? There's just, you know, we've had actually reasonably good legal framework in this country that if you acted upon it, on balance, it's good for society. And I think the Bill of Rights and the Public Health Act as it existed are both examples of that type of legislation. And to suddenly go, no, we should have some other decision-making process that allows those to be taken away at our whim. I don't see those as good things for a functioning social democracy. And I think most people in the country, regardless of their political persuasion, would agree that a functioning social democracy is a good thing.
And maintain good health. That's the other thing.
Well, that's right. That's the other thing. If you're going to put something on the front page of the Herald as an op-ed, then when I write about this all the time, no one seems to take any notice, is that you could get fitter, you could eat better, you could sleep well, you could get outside, and you could have and keep good company, and you could engage in activities that have some meaning and purpose that are potentially going to make the world a better place than when you started in it. You know, that's what makes up a good life, and that's what's lacking in our health system. There's no infrastructure for any of those things right now. So that's the op-ed.
Okay, well, start writing it.
Okay. Well, I wrote one yesterday. I put it on social media. I got, you know, a few hits, but I'll do it. Oh, okay. I'll do another one. Yeah. I'll do another one this week as well then. I'll send it to the Herald, see what happens. Nothing probably, but you never know.
Yeah. All right. Anything more to say about this before we wind up chatting, Grant?
I just think that people in the social democracy that we live in, the whole point of a social democracy is to have your say and argue with veracity your points. And so I think the best way to argue veracity is to play the issue, not the person. And so, you know, I generally try and do that. I'm not always successful because I get emotional as well. But the way forward is to make logical and coherent arguments about an issue and keep arguing those. If they're unpopular, so be it. And if you're wrong, well, eventually be proven so. That's how society works, and we seem to have lost track of that. Not an RCR, mind you, but it's just, you know, where we're going.
All right, we were talking about the new op-ed from Professor David Murdoch and Ashley Bloomfield, arguing the pandemic should be treated as security threats rather than public health threats. Professor Grant Schofield, thank you for coming on again, Grant.
Thanks. Pleasure as always.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.